Something's got to be dead. Something has to be broken. Something has to be in chaos. Something has to be in discord. Something has to be wrong in order for God to come in and fix what needs to be fixed. So whatever is going on out in this world, we're not of it. We're in the spiritual realm. We're not flesh and blood. We're spirit. God is spirit. The laws of this world we must adhere to. But we've got to be careful that we misrepresent the real kingdom that we represent. We got people calling themselves Christians, throwing rocks, casting stones, doing all kinds of... I feel like the rock, like walking tall right now. Come in and I got my board. This is not part of my message. This will be later, but this is my message. This is the word from the Lord. We need to have an understanding as the body of Christ. And I've been preaching on this thing for quite some time. It's not what you say, it's what you do that lets people know that you're a Christian. That you're Christ-like. You ain't perfect, and you ain't gonna be perfect till you get to glory. But in the process, people are going to be watching you. Oh, they say, I felt it. People are going to say, just because all this stuff is going on, how is it that you got peace in the midst of your storm? How do you have peace in the midst of your storm? Don't you see what's going on around you? Yes, but I'm not of this world. Oh, there you go, talking all crazy again. No, you don't have an understanding. When I accepted Christ, I put on a new nature, a new character. My blood does not run the same like it used to run. Now I got the DNA of my son, Jesus Christ. He is the one that flows through me. He is the one that gives me everything. He is the one that reigns supreme. And it's not about preaching to them. It's not about condemning them. It's not about telling them where they're going. Truth be told, the person you want to tell where they're going, you're going to follow along with them. It is wonderful and pleasant when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and unto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. I'm telling you, the dew is about to fall. And it's coming down from the mountaintop. And if you stay in position, and you don't get out of position, you're about to experience the dew that is coming your way. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, it's due to me. And it's coming my way. And the Lord has pronounced me blessed, even life everlasting. Come on, somebody. Do you believe the word of the Lord? Do you believe that he's about to rain down from heaven, release the dew out of the heavenly realm, just to come down to meet you where you're at? What you don't understand, even when the dew is at the mountaintop and you're at the valley, you're still going to get the dew. You may be going through hell right now, but you're coming up and coming out. You're not being discounted. You're being qualified. He's coming. He's drawing nearer and nearer like never before. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to change a circumstance. He's going to change someone's mind. He's going to heal someone's heart. He's going to bring a refreshing rain into the land. Oh my God. Come on, somebody! world. He's making some change. He's bringing it down from heaven. He says, I see all the chaos. I see all the turmoil. But I ain't afraid. I'm God all by myself. I'm the God of peace in the midst of your war. I am the word that speaks to the wind in the middle of your storm. I can cause you to walk on water that's been turbulent. They may not understand how you have peace in the middle of the storm. It's because you're holding on to peace. Hear this, beloved. Let this be the word of the Lord that has come from heaven for you. And God is saying, there's nothing that you're going to do that's going to cause me to turn away from you. There is nothing you're going to do that caused my love to fail for you. Why? Because I'm God and I'm God everlasting. My word is true yesterday, today, and forever. When I speak, it creates. And when I breathe, it brings life. I'm about ready to breathe onto your circumstance. I'm going to get rid of that joker that keeps putting his hands on you. I'm going to get rid of that one that keeps speaking against you. I'm going to come in because you are my beloved. You are my child. I'm coming in. I'm stepping in. And I'm taking my children back. I'm taking them back because you're my beloved. You're my beloved. My God. My God, like the dew that falls from Mount Hermon. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we give you glory, we give you glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You're worthy, you're worthy. Before the foundations of the earth, oh God, before the world was ever created, you had me in mind. You had them in mind. You had us on your heart, God. We're not here on accident. We're here on purpose. And while I'm here on earth, I'm going to walk with purpose. I'm going to square my shoulders back. I'm going to lift my head. I'm going to walk with purpose on purpose. I'm not slowing down. And you can't be still. You don't know how to be still. The hand of God has been on you, been protecting you and holding you. I hear the Spirit of God said, son, it is time. It is time. When is my time? When is my turnaround? When is my breakthrough? I'm coming here today, sir, to tell you, it is your time. It is your season. It is your hour. Where the blessing of God comes upon you and releases to you peace, favor, my God, an open door is coming your way. You're not alone, son, you're not alone, nor will you be alone. I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm moving on your behalf, moving on your behalf. God, I'm getting tired, I'm getting weary. I need a break, oh God. He says, I'm giving you a breakthrough. I'm breaking you out. I'm setting you free. I'm loosing you into your destiny. My God. Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise. Come on, Avery. Come on, Avery. The Bible says that from a distance they can hear the beat of a drum. And they begin to march. They begin to march with the beat of a different sound. Because something is about to increase in your spirit. And as you begin to get closer and closer to the things of God, your heart is going to begin to beat at a whole different pace. Then all of a sudden, what you were once in once before is no longer holding you back. Now there's something that is driving you forward. There's something that's saying, I know who my God is. I know that I'm not here on accident. I'm here to cause the devil some havoc. I'm here to put confusion in the enemy's camp. Because what should have taken me out is bringing me in. Come on, man. Yes. You see the dark cloud? It's gone. Do you see that little demon over there? Looking at us, they're crazy. They're a bunch of crazy fools. Yeah, we are. We are. We're crazy, crazy. But do you see that little worm inching his way up there? You know, the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we're going to look at Satan himself, and he's going to be nothing but a little worm. Well, don't get this twisted now. When I go down to the river, I wish I could sing a tune down by the riverside. Hey, don't worry, I ain't going to sing. Y'all going to say, oh, Lord, Pastor, stop. But when I go down to the river and I take me a fishing pole and a hook, when I want to catch me something that's deep, when I want to catch me something that's dirty, when I want to catch me something that has some whiskers on it, this down there at the very bottom, this low is deep, I usually put a worm on it. See, the Bible says also that Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. What you going to use for bait? What the enemy's been throwing at you? What the enemy's been putting on you? What the enemy's been trying to make you feel like you've been disqualified, unqualified. You ain't nothing but a bunch of misfits. I said, Lord, let me put that thing on that hook and I'm going to get me some men. He says, yeah, you got to look at everything that's been coming your way and see everything that the devil's been doing lying to you. Because everything that you have been through didn't disqualify you. It only qualified you. And you're going to be able to eat it all up. See, I don't see no spirits in here. What I do sense, a mist. See, when the conditions are right, what has been, oh my God. What makes it rain doesn't come from the heavens. It comes from here on earth. Your worship is taken up. And as it goes up, it is the pressure that has been built around that begins to release what came up out of your worship and your prayer. So when it begins to release, it begins to mist on you like the dew of Mount Hermon. Let me encourage you. If your circumstance doesn't want to move out the way, Jesus said, I'm not going to hit it. I'm going to be hung on a tree for you. Quit trying to fight something that's not for you to fight. I have already overcome it. I've already overcome it. I carried it. I've overcome the world. So, beloved, fear not. Fear not. I've commanded the blessing for you, for you, for you, and for you to fall right on you. Amen. Hallelujah. This concludes the first portion of the service. I guess that's a good thing because we can do tithes and offering again for the second service.
I think we should just, let's just move on. Y'all right with that? Can I move on? That's the word of the Lord for you. I know what I'm hearing by the Spirit. And I know what I'm hearing in the atmosphere of what's to come. Things are about to be turned around here in the United States of America. Not because of an individual, but because of God's appointed time. Amen. Now, God elects, I could go a whole different route with this. He elects your covering for you. It's up to you. Will you submit to that covering? If you don't submit to that covering, you come up under a curse. Get under that covering. You don't come against it. You pray for the covering. Amen. Hallelujah. Look to your neighbor and says, that's the end of the first service. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? Let's transition. There's a lot of transitions in here today. But I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Josh, give me a little bit of something, please, sir. The title of my message today, that was a prophetic word. Anybody have something that they heard in the spirit that they'd like to share prophetically? Not pathetically, prophetically. If you do, come to the mic right here in the middle. One, two, three. Don't come up to pastor afterwards. Well, I had something. Well, you had it. You're right. You had it. Keep it. I say that for a reason. If you're afraid to speak, you'll be afraid to do the things that God's called you to do. Turn with me to the Bible. In the chapter, in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9. Luke 9. Colleen, if you would go to the Berean Study Bible. Berean Study Bible. Luke 9. Verses 61 and 62. Berean. You have it? Okay, give me Amplified. Scroll all the way to the top. Nope, 61 and 62.
I'm getting there. Okay. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, as your disciple, but first let me say goodbye to those at my home. But Jesus said to him, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things left behind. Is fit for the kingdom of God.
Say it again. Say it again.
No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things left behind. Is fit for the kingdom of God.
Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I thank you that what you're doing right now is speaking to us to get into position, to walk with our head up, walk with our shoulders back, and to trust you so that we are fit for the kingdom. So we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for the liberty that is in the house. I thank you that every devil has been removed out of this atmosphere. And I thank you for the angelic host of the Most High God to be loosed into this atmosphere to do the bidding of the Lord, to work in tandem with the word of God and to work with the faith of the people of God to bring about the change that is necessary for their life, to get them on the right path, the right walk, and the direction that you have for them. So, Father, I thank you for that now. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Are you fit? Look to your neighbor and say, are you fit for the kingdom? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Philippians 3, verse 12 through 15. And when you have it, Colleen, read it. Either one, don't matter.
Not that I have already obtained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on, so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet.
Say that again.
Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection, should have this attitude. And if any respect you have a different attitude, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us stay true to what we have already attained. I keep going.
No, we're good right there. Okay. Verse 15 says, all of us who are mature should embrace this point of view. But once you look to your neighbor and say, are you mature? But do it in love. Do it in love, because you know you can offend someone and say, of course I'm mature. I'm mature. Mature. Look to your neighbor and say, I know you're mature. You're blessed. You're highly favored. Now what I want you to do is get up, get out of your chairs, and I want you to go touch three people and say, you're mature. All you note takers, like, I just got settled. I just got settled. Now go touch two or three people and say, I know you're mature, and I know you're blessed. I know you're mature, and I know you're blessed. I know that you're mature, and I know that you're blessed. Come on, come on. Go touch, go touch, go touch. Go touch, go touch. Touch, touch, touch. Touch, touch, touch. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I know you're mature and you're blessed. I know you're mature and you're blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Over 5 years ago, 5 years ago, I had prophesied that there would be a connection and there would be restoration to me and my brother. And in order for this house to be a house of restoration and reconciliation, the head has to get it as well. So one day during the holidays, I'm at HEB. I'm on the phone with my wife. You know how we do. We get the list and we get, I got this. I got it. And then we get there. Oh, babe, what was that thing you wanted me to get? And I'm facing this way, and behind me I hear a voice. And immediately I heard the voice, and I knew who that voice was. So we both, and he's on his phone, I'm on my phone, we both turn like this. And he's looking at me, I'm looking at him, and I'm, Jay! He's looking at me, Marty! And we're both on the phone, and he's like, what's going on? What is going on? I guess whoever was on, he was on the phone with, like, what are you talking about? No, man, that's my brother. And you got to hear my brother's voice. No, that's my brother. You know how he talks, it's real loud. He's got that D-boy, that's my brother. No, my real brother. And I'm turning around like, Jay! You know he passes a crybaby. And he says, I'll let you go. Yeah. And we just stared at each other. Did we not? You know how Jay, he tried to be real cool. He tried to be real cool. And we look at each other, we give each other a big old hug. I said, man, I want to reconnect with you. I miss you. And he's looking at me and he's like, we're in a market. We're HEB. This was Thanksgiving or Christmas? Thanksgiving. So you know how it is at HEB during Thanksgiving time. Oh, my God. Those carts need, like, horns and blinkers and all that. But we were right in the middle. He was on one side. I was on the other. So we caused a traffic jam. So here comes his beloved wife. Please stand. Please stand. My sister-in-law, please stand. And your son, Christopher. So here's the manifestation of a word that the Lord has spoke to me over 5 years ago. We reconnected. She has come and now brought her son Christian to come to the service. And my brother, he sings, so he couldn't be here because he got in at 7 this morning from Houston. And he said the next time when he's in town, they will come. Well, I want to say this to each and every one of you. A house of restoration and reconciliation is when you step in and let God do it and you don't force it. That day, I don't know how many texts we went through that day afterwards, pictures sent this way, that way, everything. So I'm just so grateful to have you guys. You know, now, you know, I was texting last night. Christian says, I guess I can call you uncle. I said, yeah, you can call me uncle. But I welcome you. I welcome you not only to the house of manna, but into our home, because we're family, and I bless you for that. Let this be an encouragement for you of whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with family. Just know, as the head goes, the oil came down from Aaron's head, went down to the uttermost parts of his garments. So shall it flow into your house. There shall be restoration in your house. There should be family members coming back together again. That was once disconnected will become reconnected. Here by the Spirit of God, this is that hour where God begins to bring those together. And what was once there that may have caused it is no longer there to keep it from being united. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share this word with you. Are you fit? Are you fit? I promise to have you out of here. Well, Dallas is out of the playoffs, so we're good. Don't be shouting all your teams at me now. I'm just saying. Even ticket sales went down for the Super Bowl once Dallas Cowboys got knocked out. I'm just saying. Everybody was had a prayer going up for them. I think more people was praying. Jesus was like, man, they pray for the Cowboys like never before this year. But I want you to put your attention to verse 12 of Philippians 3. It says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been perfected, but I press on and take hold of what for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then if you jump down to verse 13, the second part says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I want you to consider what your past has done in your life. Has the past in your life kept you from reaching forward? Has it kept you from embracing new? Or has it kept you in bondage of your now, based on an outcome of your past? You see, many times we go through life looking on our past experiences to say, that's to help me in my future. Or we can use that to say that this is why I'm not in my future. Truth of the matter is, your past is not disqualifying. If it wasn't sent by God, he is still going to turn it around and use it for your good. We have a philosophy that we grow up with, that everything that comes our way is because God has ordained it for our life. Don't forget there's other people's and other people's wills that get in the way. And there is a word that many people do not like to use as part of your walk with Christ. It's called an accident. Accidents do happen. And when they happen, you don't look at it and say, God allowed this. Accidents happen. Don't be so spiritual. Oh, God, you allowed this. There's a reason for it. Yeah, you weren't paying attention. You were texting. You weren't. There are some things that we do. We want to put on God. And God's like, hey, if you would have watched the road. Just saying. Been down there myself. I know. But I know that as I become more mature in the things of God, I begin to see things differently in a different light, because I'm asking God to reveal to me through his eyes and not my eyes. That what was in my past is not going to keep me bound from getting to my future. So I have to let it go. I have to let it go. And I begin to ask God, what is the very thing that comes against us the most? He says, it's your past. Let your past be. You can't go back and change it. It is what it is, but it is not what it seems. If you allow what you have been through to give you strength to climb, then eventually you'll climb the mountain that's been standing in front of you. You've been casting and speaking to it. But there's some mountains in your life that God is saying, I'm using it to build your strength, to get you fit, to climb. There's some muscles that are necessary for you to use as you're climbing that you normally wouldn't use if you were just walking. Come on, somebody. Because the reality is when you're climbing, you didn't realize that your fingers had muscles. Because I'm afraid of heights. I realized very quickly when I'm trying to climb up on a roof to do a measurement for roofing that my fingers could go right through the tile because I was so scared. And I started getting grip and strength in my fingers so that I wouldn't fall. But if I wasn't put in a place that would test me, I wouldn't be strengthened in that area. Now, I did a lot of different jobs. Like many of us, we have different jobs that we do as we're growing up. And, well, I thought I was grown and thought I knew everything I was supposed to know. And the Lord says, I want you to climb that ladder and get up on the second story. No, Lord, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. No. You know I'm scared of heights. He goes, well, you can't get up unless you climb. So I had to take a step of faith. Get up on that ladder and get up on that roof. And I have a witness. I have a real witness. Many of y'all know him as Elder Popo in the back. Elder Popo in the back. Back there, would you raise your hand, Elder Popo? Elder Popo was with me and he saw. He goes, I didn't realize that your toes could grab hold of that ladder like it did through your shoe. You see, there's some things in our life that's going to cause us to grip a little bit harder than normally we wouldn't. And if you could just grab hold of it, but keep moving forward, you'll grow in the area that's been presenting itself as a challenge to you. And it's time for us to grow. So I said, Lord, I want to be fit. Tell me what I got to do. I started this on Thursday because I kept hearing the Lord saying, get in position, get ready. I went downstairs. I was telling the story on Thursday. My son and I went to work out. You know how most of us do. We get the membership and we use it like twice a year. You know, maybe three times if you're lucky. But we went to the gym when we worked out. We did legs, you know, leg press. My son Josh is strong with his legs. So he's 18 and I keep up. You know, I'm dad. I got this, Josh. Just put another one, Josh. Put another one. Let's put another one, Josh. Let's put another one. I think we're good, Josh. He goes, no, put another one. All right, let's put another one. I'm going to try to do three, Josh. I'm going to try to do three. Help me out, Josh. Josh gets on there and does 20 of them. I'm going to go in the hot tub. So that 2 days later, you know, you don't get sore the next day. You get sore 2 days later. So 2 days later, I'm walking down the stairs and I'm like, oh. You're almost afraid to put that foot down because you don't even know if it's going to hold you. I put my weight on my left. I was, Inez was already downstairs looking at, what's going on? I'm worshiping. But the Lord was saying, you see, if you're not fit, you're not going to make it in the kingdom of God. He wasn't talking, of course, your body. He don't care what your body looks like. He don't care whether your hair is receding. Lord, help me believe for a miracle. But whether it's gray, we can dye it. But I'm just saying, he don't care what you look like. He doesn't care what you think you look like. He cares, is your spirit fit for the kingdom of God? Are you always looking backwards to some of the things that have happened to you and not putting yourself focused forward to what God has already put in front of you to obtain? And I believe that we have to let go of some things in our life. One of the biggest things is offense. Look to your neighbor and say, offense. We're going to get rid of the offense. Turn with me, if you would, to the Book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John chapter. Did you hear that? Chapter. I only had two cups of coffee. I need my third. John chapter 10. I'm going to read this out of the NIV, verses 7 through 10. Are you ready? Therefore, Jesus said again, verily, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Watch this on number 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I mean, you know that God has a plan. You believe he has a plan for you? I mean, do you really believe he has a plan for you? Because the plan that he has for you is to prosper you. The plan that he has is for you to continually move in the very blessing that he has for you and not the cursing that the world has put on you or the cursing that the enemy has put on you. See, the plan of the enemy is to keep you from moving forward. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life. And I asked, Lord, give me some insight. God, what is this? What is this? What is the scheme? What is the plans? What is the thing that the devil uses? And I'm going to give you three things that the enemy uses in this very thing and why he does it against you. The first and foremost is the enemy comes to destroy. He comes to destroy. That is his plan, is destruction to destroy. That's his plan. Number two, his strategy is to divide. He wants to divide you. He wants to keep you apart. He wants to break covenant. And number three, the tool to conquer you that he uses is offense. The tool that he uses to conquer you is offense. So number one, he wants to destroy you with destruction, and that is his plan. That's his plan of attack. Destroy you with destruction. Number two, he uses division as his strategy. He wants to divide you. Number three, the tool that he uses to conquer you is offense. Now, before I go any deeper with the destruction, the divide, and conquer, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. You have the English Standard Version? If you would go there to Matthew 5, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. And when you have it, read, Miss Colleen.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire.
Oh, stop right there. Let's read verse 22 again. Let's just make sure everybody heard that. Can you read that real loud, please?
But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Mm. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire.
Now, listen. Before we go any further than that, that means that there is a judgment that comes on you if you have any offense towards your brother. You understand? Are you understanding that? Now, if you're angry with your brother, you'll be liable for judgment. And watch this. Whoever insults his brother is liable to the council, meaning to go before the judge, the Sanhedrin, to go before them. In other words, whatever you do, you're going to be judged. Then it says this, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. And we would think that's not a bad word. Fool ain't a bad word. Why are you going to put me in the fire? I know some of y'all said some worse than fool. Looking around, just kind of seeing everybody's little halos tilt a little bit. Because there's times that we do things against our own brethren that we begin to not realize that we're putting ourselves in a position for judgment. Not the judgment of God coming on you, but the judgment that is going to come against you in this natural realm. And what his intention is, God's intention, is for us to dwell together in harmony. Yeah. Now, continue reading in verse 23.
So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift.
What's that talking about? Before you come and give an offering to the Lord, if you have aught, you have disagreement, and you have an offense towards your brother, that means before you can come and give it, it says leave it before you present it, and go make it right with your brother or your sister, and then come back and then offer it before the Lord. How many of us do that right now? You're in church because the Lord's watching. Yeah, some of those hands are like, ooh. Well, you understand, my sister, she's a little, sometimes she's this way, not this. You know, we have to make things right. Have to make things right. We are a representation of the kingdom of God. With all the division that is going on, that's the trick of the enemy, is to divide us. And that's how he can conquer us. A house divided cannot stand. So he comes to divide. Continue reading.
Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison.
Whoa, wait a minute. You be put in prison. You see what the offense will do? Mm-hmm. If you don't make it right, you'll be imprisoned by that offense. You'll be imprisoned yourself by that offense. Go ahead.
Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny.
Penny. Oh, no. You will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You will never get out. What is he talking about? If you don't make things right with your brother or your sister, you don't make things right, you will never get out of this condemnation. You're going to be put in a prison. You're not coming out until you pay the due of it, even to the last penny. How do you know that you're no longer offended by someone? They're going to come right back into your space one more time. And they're going to look at you right in the eye and say the same old thing that made you mad. How do you know that you are over it and you paid your due? You're not going to get offended again. Bless you, beloved. I love you. See, I worked on that one. I almost went with the ojitos. What is the thing? What is he trying to say? He's saying, you put yourself into prison with the offense that you carry. So let it go. Look, your neighbor, say, let it go. Let it go. Oh, y'all don't even really feel it. Come on, let's just get them. Because earlier they wanted to, you know, jam. They wanted to dance and stuff. Let's just help them out a little bit. You see, we're quick to tell people they got a speck in their eye. We're quick to tell them about the sin that's in their life. I got to look for a mature person because then they won't get offended. And look in the eyes of some of the folks here. Yeah. No, you all right, man. You good. Gayla, on the other hand, okay, she's good. We're quick to want to start judging people what we think is in their eyes. What does the Bible say? Is you looking for the speck of dust that's in their eye? You walking around with a plank in your eye. Mm.
I am over here and I'm trying to tell you, you got something in your eye. You got something in your eye. You got a speck of dust in your eye. You got something sin in your eye. You're like, hey, did you look in the mirror first, fool? You got something in your eye, Raymond. What? Is it a speck? She said, is it a speck or a plank? I got the plank. But isn't it something that you can walk around looking and inspecting, but you could be the one that's turning around and hitting everybody with your issue? Kind of reminded me, remember that Pink Panther with Steve Martin? Everything he did was just, he just messed things up, you know. But in the end, it all worked out. A little bit unorthodox, but when the Pink Panther got some things going on, he may have picked something up, but he would knock somebody off of the ladder. He would hit someone to cause a fire because he was looking to do something, to find something in somebody else, to find something wrong, but he'd be causing more damage than anything else. See, the little dust that's in our eyes, God says, I ain't even worried about that. It's when you think you ain't got nothing that it magnifies. We can't be walking around putting judgment, because that's what the enemy's going to do. He's going to make you start looking at faults in others so that you can offend them, so that he can divide you. So that he can divide you. Yeah. Let's see who I'm going to use as an illustration right now. Who wants to be used as an illustration? Who wants to be used? Raymond? Okay, come on, Raymond. No, I can't use it. I can't use Raymond. No, I can't use Raymond. No, because she's got the halo. It's good. She polished it. She's good. She was good. Nancy and Clint, come here. Come here. Come here. Come here, Nancy and Clint. Come here. Pastor Benny, can I get you to move this, please, sir? Can I get y'all on the stage? Is it all right? They're going to move the pulpit. They can move the pulpit. You can just kind of set it aside. Okay. Now, this is a beloved couple of the house of Manna. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. Beautiful married couple of the house of Manna. Beautiful. Now, when you came in together in union and before the eyes of the Lord, correct? Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Okay. Okay. Follow with me now. Okay. Now, so what the trick of the enemy is, he wants to cause division. Right? Now, when you first get married, we were kind of alluding to this on Thursday. You know, when you look into her eyes and you gaze. Oh, look at the smile. Look at that. It's so wonderful. It's peaceful. And everything is going great. He loves the smile. He loves her laugh. He loves everything about her. And she looks over at Clint. Oh, Clint, I love you. You're such a wonderful, strong man. You're a beautiful human being. You're the one that God has sent for me. So the first year is great. The first year is great that way, because you're in love. Everything's great. So the enemy's not coming right away yet. Now, what was the strength that they were both agreeing to and looking at each other, and the reason why they came together, is the very thing that the enemy's going to use later to come in and say, that smile is not even a real smile. It's okay, brother. It's okay. Then what he used to do for her all the time, that used to give her so much peace, is when he would come home and he would do all the dishes, clean the house, everything was ready, just because he loves her. Yes, give kudos, give kudos. Yes, okay. Now, some time goes by. Now what the enemy comes to say, the enemy starts to whisper in Nancy's ears, he didn't even clean the dishes right. Every time I find food on the fork, I find food on the plate. Even the glasses that even have the... did you even wash them right? So now what he was using as her strength and why she fell in love. Oh, you're always helping me. You're so grateful. Oh, you're so thoughtful. Thank you so much. I love you so much. You hung the moon for me. Now it's no longer about hanging the moon. It's like you didn't even hang up the towel after you took a shower. You just left it on the floor. See, what the enemy comes to do is use the little things to start causing the division. Look at you. Look at you. You got her arms crossed and everything. She's like, Pastor, were you at the house the other day? I don't know how you knew about that town, about the dishes. We just had, I don't know, Clint, man. I think you need an armor bearer right now because she getting ready to tear you up. But, so the enemy wants to divide. But what happens is when God is saying, no, I called you to be together in covenant. In covenant through thick and thin. You still got your arms crossed? Look at her. She's like, how's he doing? You know, I've been praying for this man, but maybe I need to go into the fasting mode and start fasting for him now. But see, what the enemy wants to do, he wants to divide. He wants to come in to separate. He wants to separate. Now, he's not going to come in to separate on things that you're going to notice right away. He's going to come in subtly. So what he's going to do is make an offense come in. We're role playing. You know this, right? And we're just role playing. So we're role playing. So now here comes the, oh Lord. You know, you husbands in here, she buys a dress. She buys an outfit. Honey, what do you think? Yeah. Kind of makes you look, you know. Look, he didn't even want to say it. He went, ooh. Pastor, I don't like this role playing no more. Can you get somebody else, please? Now. Lord Jesus.
Yesterday.
Oh, okay. I said we were role playing.
Oh, okay.
Role playing. She said, like yesterday. We don't even want to talk about the doghouse you had to build, Clint. That's all right. So now what the enemy has used is an offense to come and divide covenant. Now, he was told before, I love the way you're honest with me. I love how you tell me the truth and you always compliment me and things. So I'm looking at my wife and she's like, you better watch. So then you're asking for truth that he's been telling you, and he tells you the truth, but now you don't like the truth, and now you're offended, and now you don't want to ask him any more about what it looks like. And it's just a dress. But what that begins to do, begins to breed. So what the offense now is, what else does he not like? See? Clint was like, I was just commenting on just that outfit. All the other 900 that are in the closet, they were okay. If you ask me about this one and I comment on it, but why do I have to be in the doghouse? Because now I've told you the truth and now you're upset about the truth. And now I can't even speak the truth no more. It doesn't set me free no more every time I tell you, because now you hold that against me. And now I can't even go to church and praise God, right? Because I'm thinking, did I compliment her right today? See how the offense will come in. It begins to build, and he wants to do. What does he want to do? He wants to divide it so that he can conquer it. And if he can conquer it, then he can win and take the whole house. Are we really fit for the kingdom? Because if we're fit for the kingdom, we that are mature, maybe thank you for telling me the truth. We're not going to let the enemy come and divide no more. I'm not going to wear that outfit no more. Matter of fact, that bonfire that we had the other night is when I burnt it up because... So we're not going to let the enemy come in to try to divide it. We're not going to let him come in to cause all kind of division. Now, that's one thing in a marriage. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. Good job. There you go, man of God. There you go, man of God. Way to go. Now, here's what happens when you're in church. You're like, oh, Pastor, you're going to go, why'd you stop playing? We're about to get real. Now, come on, baby. Stand up, baby. Come on, baby. Pastor Inez comes in with the, what they call that, a sleigh out. What was it? Sleigh. sleigh outfit. Sleigh outfit. Pastor done bought her. Sleigh. Just sleigh. She's sleigh. Pastor done bought her a nice big. Okay, wedding. Okay, a rock. Pretend there's a rock on there, real big wedding rock. They've been on layaway like for 10 years. Okay, so now she's worshiping. She's worshiping. You know how she gets? Yeah! Go ahead, babe. Come on. Yeah! And she's dancing, hollering. And someone happens to look at her hand and sees that she's got a new diamond ring. And that person just sitting in the back of the congregation, that's why they're taking up all these special offerings. That's why they're asking for projectors and screens. But I see that new rock. I see what pastor's buying. Matter of fact, I see he bought her a new ring and diamond ring. I said, I knew there was nothing about money anyhow. I'm out of here. And then, see, now she's really playing it now. You see, she said, I even got a purse too to match. I got my shoes, okay. She got her purse, her shoes, got everything to match. Pastor's just spending the money on his wife. Now, okay, amen. I got one amen. Can I get another, please? Can I get another? Now, what happens is the enemy starts putting that into your head and you start taking offense to some of the things that are going on in the house of God. And then what happens is it gets you out of the house of God. Let I remind you about the plank in your eye, about how you spent all that money going to that concert or going out to that certain thing and buying for yourself, but didn't think about the house of God. Oh, we're going to take this together, babe, because I ain't going to take the only gun. Me and you are going to take it together. Now, watch this. So the offense comes in. You leave and get out of position, and you no longer want to be a part of what God is doing in your life. He's come to kill and destroy the very thing that he's put into your life for your benefit. Oh, we're going to really go here, babe. Woo! Why are they in a gym? How long are they going to be there? I don't like it. Going there, it don't even feel like it's holy. It don't even feel like it's a real church. There's not even a cross hanging up. Y'all think I don't know what y'all thinking? No. We can find crosses and everything. There's one right here with the tape right here on the floor. There's one that's going up here. There's a whole bunch. But I know what y'all thinking sometimes. It's a gym. It's a gym. I'm tired of coming to a gym. And then pastor always plays the music so loud. Oh, man, we have the instruments up there. Ain't nobody singing. Oh, we're leaving this church. Now, what's happening is that God has sent you here to get restored and to get things that have been taken from you to get you blessed, right? But what happens is the enemy comes in to kill what God had started in your life. He wants to get you to your blessing, wants to get the blessing to you so that when the blessing comes, it comes and it overtakes you. It overtakes you. It covers you. It is now a part of you. But the trick of the enemy is to get you offended before it comes. To start looking at the little things that maybe irritate you, but it hasn't blinded you. Someone told me this morning they had something in their eye. It didn't blind you. But will you let the enemy blind you from your blessing by using an offense? Many people, not just in this house, but in houses all across America, all across the world, they leave offended before the blessing arrives. There is such a thing as being in that place that God has called for the blessing to be at that you must be. But when the offense comes in, you're taken out. He destroys the plan. He destroys the plan of God. Now, some of you scholars in here, but the word of God does not return void unto him. It will accomplish what it was set out to do. Amen. Hallelujah. But you can abort it.
You can abort it by getting out of position. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to come in with the offense to make you leave and to abort what was promised to you. Are you hearing this? In order for us to be fit for the kingdom of God, we got to quit looking back over the things that have hurt us along the way. There's individuals in here and on the podcast that have been wounded spiritually by authority in your life. Whether it be pastors, evangelists, teachers, or a church that you submitted to, you got wounded by an offense. An offense is an action. Being offended is a choice. The offense was an action, but being offended is your choice to stay offended. You understand? So now when you go to another place of worship to submit to another authority, you bring your past experiences where they're going to do this to me again. And you live your experiences based on your past. And you're bound in your now. And you can't reach for your destiny. Whatever offense has come your way, make a choice today to let it go. Let it all go. Maybe you've been wounded by words. Maybe you've been wounded by a church. Maybe you've been wounded by a brother, a sister, your son, your daughter. Let it go. Because it'll keep you bound. Forgiveness isn't for the other individual. It's for you. It breaks that cord and releases you out of that fiery hell. I encourage you, where God wants to take the church as a whole, the body of Christ, is to move with the choice not to remain offended. Jesus was getting praised. As he was coming in, riding on a donkey, was getting praised by all the people that he affected with his ministry. They were laying down branches and they were laying down coats. They were laying stuff, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. But then they turn on him. And when they turn on him, they start, the same ones that were praising him and worshiping him, going prostrate before him, are the ones saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Hang him. Release the thief, but hang him. Do you think Jesus was offended? Did he carry the offense? No, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's maturity. They know not what they do. I can't hold this against them. I do this willingly for them. Do you understand? If you've been wounded by words, you've been wounded by someone that has hurt you in the past, maybe a relationship, maybe a son or a daughter that has wounded you by actions or words, you can release it and let it go. It really isn't what it seems. We all have emotions. And when we act upon emotions, we can push other people into a whole different realm of emotions. So if there's something that is in your heart that the enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, he uses offense. You got to let it go. Are you ready to let it go is the question. It says no man, no woman is fit for the kingdom if they put their hand to the plow and look back. Lest I remind you, thank you, baby. Lest I remind you about Lot's wife. Deliverance was there, afforded to them. The whole family. So the only thing is when we leave out of your circumstance, when we leave out of the city that is in turmoil, when we leave out, don't look back. That was the only requirement. Don't look back, because where I'm taking you, it's a better place. But if you look back to where you came from, you'll turn into a pillar of salt. And what did she do? She looked back. How many times are you going to keep looking at your past experiences, your past hurts, and not get any further? It's time to let it go. Some of y'all need to hear this, and I say this by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to let some people in your life go. Pastor, that's not biblical. No, it is. If they're not going where you're going, they don't need to be in the place that you're at. Because every time you're going down that road that he's called you to be on, and someone comes to take you off course, they're not for you, they're against you. And if they keep you out of God's perfected will, you're just going to find yourself off course. So you have to change your influence. You have to change who you're around. Maybe you may not like what they're telling you, but you're the one carrying the offense. If it's truth to get you where you need to be, then accept the truth and move forward. Some relationships got to be cut loose. Especially, woo, Jesus, y'all need to help me in here. Especially if they're not trying to build you up, but tear you down. And if they're trying to tear you down, God has come and he speaks to you to build you up, to encourage you, to set you on the right course, to put you on the right path, the path that you're supposed to be on. But he's speaking to you because he loves you. It's up to you what you're going to determine, what you're going to do with what he's telling you. If they're not taking you in, they're taking you away. Let go of those relationships that have been coming against you, keeping you from your peace, your love, and your joy. You think your dad in heaven wants you to be miserable? You think daddy in heaven wants you to go through living in fear? No. Do you think he wants you to have this kind of fear, whether or not they're going to be coming home, or they're ever going to stay home, or they may be sleeping with somebody else, or maybe they're out there in the streets? No, he doesn't want that fear. He wants peace. And he wants you to come in covenant with him to know that I have plans for you that are prosper you, not to harm you. The plans that I've made and given to you are for you to be encouraged and to move forward, to grow the things of God, to be mature in the word of God, to pursue righteousness. He doesn't want you living in fear. He doesn't want to leave you where you're at. He's always reaching down and say, come, come, come. He doesn't want you where you're at in your misery and your pain. He says, come. The trick of the enemy is to kill, steal, and destroy. But he said in the same verse, he says, my sheep know my voice. And they didn't follow after it. But the thing is, nowadays we have people saying, I'm going to listen as long as it sounds good. I'm going to follow after it. I'm going to listen to everything I want to hear, and I'm going to follow after it. But if it's not God, shut it out. Because it will destroy you. It's here to stop you. It's here to keep you from achieving who you really are. Many go on in life not even knowing what the purpose of the call of God on their life is. And they take their gifts and their talents with them to the grave. The mantles that have never been expounded on go right into the grave. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm releasing what has gone on for centuries. It's been held up in the heavenlies. I'm releasing it for the body of Christ to grab hold of. To grab hold of the anointing. To grab hold of the mantles that I've loosed into the kingdom. For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the body. Why? Because what I have for you is peace, love, joy, hope for a future. Your destiny. What has come your way. Maybe God didn't send it, but he will turn it around and he'll use it for your good. You may not have victory the way you think it's going to come, but you will live in victory once you realize that he'll turn it around. A lot of hardships. A lot of broken hearts. And sometimes broken dreams. But you can't look at that and say, this is what God intended for you. Because as a father and a husband, as a father, I want good for my children. As a husband, I sacrifice for her. See, Abba, Father is your father. But he's also the husband and you're the bride. As a father, he'll correct you. As a father, he'll lead you.
As a father, he will bring to you what is necessary for your growth. As a husband, he will sacrifice for you. He's asking for your same sacrifice. Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you give him your all, your heart, so that he can make change in your life? Are you ready to let it go? Stand to your feet if you would, beloved. You can say to yourself, Pastor, I've been walking around with a big old plank in my eye, looking at everybody else's mess, but not looking at my own. The plank that's been in my eye is a big old thing that's keeping me from seeing my future, keeping me from believing that I can achieve what God has placed before me. This big old plank, I need to get rid of it, and I need to start dealing with myself instead of dealing with others. I need to see myself how God sees me. If this is you, I want you to come and lay it at the altar. No longer carry this thing around. I want you to release it and know that God said, I'm removing this thing that has caused so much pain. I'm removing this thing that has caused you from seeing. I'm removing everything that's been an obstacle in your life. But you first have to agree to let it go. If that's you, get to this altar so I can pray over you now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah.